nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. All of the on-time people, I sure appreciate you being on time. And I know that the Lord does even more. Today is a special Sunday because it is Pentecost Sunday. It is 50 days since Jesus' resurrection, and that's when the Holy Spirit was sent to the earth, to the church, to empower the church. So today, we want to just honor and we want to celebrate the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit in my life. And so all of the songs that we're going to sing today are all about the Holy Spirit. So let's worship the Lord today, and let's just open up in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to empower us, to anoint us, to guide us, to fill us, to comfort and encourage and strengthen us. Father, we're so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. We welcome you. We ask you to have your way here today. Touch us afresh. Fill us anew. Anoint us with fresh oil. Lord, let the fire of your Holy Spirit burn within us today. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would have your way here today. Touch every life. Touch every person in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. This first song is called, I Need a Ghost. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. I need a ghost. Are you ready to sing this morning? Let's go.
I don't need the smoke or mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen a God who heals. I know when I ask, I receive it, 'cause you're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe it.
Come on!
I need a Holy Ghost awaiting in my soul. I need a love that goes rattling my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awaiting in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow dry wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a Ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a Ghost. I need another counterfeit comfort, 'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins.
I need a Holy Ghost
awakened in my soul. I need a love that goes rattling my bones to the evidence shows.
I need a Holy Ghost
awakened in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a
Holy, Holy,
I need a Ghost.
Holy, Holy
Ghost.
I feel the fire, I can't even explain it. It's like I'm busting with a heavenly language. And every time I get a taste of it,
I just want more, I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been growing inside me. It's like a lion's roar that wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more.
I need a Holy Ghost
awakening my soul. I need a love that goes rattling my bones till the evidence shows.
I need a Holy Ghost
awakening my soul.
need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired. Wherever I go, I need a
holy, holy
ghost. I need a
holy, holy
ghost. I need to go
holy, holy
ghost. I need to go
holy, holy
ghost.
I need to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the praying saints get on one accord, there's no telling what he'll do in this place. It's our desire that he rest on us, that he brings order to the chaos of this world, that he brings power to the impotence of this world. It's our desire that he rest on us, just like from the beginning. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here we go. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Yeah, come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Yeah, come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move me, make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Yeah, come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Yeah, come rest on us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, let's go in. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us, hey. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us, yeah, 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 yeah. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. I'm your temple, God. Fill me up. Yeah, yeah.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all. Come on, church, sing this out.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want.
You're all we want.
You're all we want.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want.
You're all we want.
You're all we want.
Holy Spirit.
when you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Hey,
with fire away, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Oh, with
fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in.
Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Oh, rest on us, Holy Spirit. Oh, you are welcome here, Lord. You are welcome, welcome here. Have your way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We worship Hallelujah. You, Jesus. We worship you, God.
You are welcome in this place, God. You are welcome in this place, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, Lord.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Within me, living water.
You are welcome in this place, God of power, love, and grace.
All across this room, I want you to raise your hands. I want you to lift your hands and your hearts before the King. We want to welcome Him, not just in this room, but in us. You are welcome here, Lord. You can have your way here, Lord. You can sit on the throne of our hearts, Lord. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, yeah. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh, your presence, Lord, yeah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, Lord. Oh, well, I've tasted and seen all the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh, in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Whoa, Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of...
Come on, church, press in and say,
let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Oh, you're welcome here, Lord.
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Oh, have your way.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We thank you for the tangible anointing of God in this place this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit is here. Where your spirit is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there is healing, there is blessing, there is breakthrough. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Breathe on us in this place. Rain down on us in this place, God.
Rain on me. Yesterday's gone.
today I'm in need. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me, burn in me.
Sing this out.
Burn in me, Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost shower, Holy Ghost shower, Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost power, breathe on me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The presence of God is so strong in this place, so strong in this place. There is a flow of the Holy Spirit. Yet some of you choose to stand on the outside, says the Lord. It's time for you to get in line and in alignment with my spirit. Because there are things that are lacking in your life, and they'll stay lacking until you tap into the river of water that flows from the inside. I've already placed within you everything that you could possibly need to overcome every emotion, every disturbance of the enemy, every temptation. I have put that within you. But as long as you keep damming up the river of God, you will continue to live without the power. And if you're living without the power, get in the river, says the Lord. Get in the river that flows in this place, says the Lord. Get in the river that I provided for you. I provided a flow of living water that'll flow through your life, and it'll wash out everything that could come against you. It'll wash out every thought that contaminates your mind. It'll wash out impurities from your heart. It'll wash your motives. It'll wash your actions. It'll wash your thoughts. It'll wash your deeds. But get in the power of the Holy Spirit and get in the flow, says the Lord. What are you waiting for? You are believers. You are filled with the Spirit of God. Yield to Him. Yield to Him. Lift your hands in this place. Father, I thank you for a flow of the Holy Spirit flowing through this place. It's a warning. I speak a warning from the Holy Ghost. Do not withstand me moving in your life. You stand on a precipice, says the Lord. Do not withstand the power of God working in your heart, because your mind cannot conceive. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And you will never, never step into my ways. And you will never, ever know my mysteries. And you will never walk in my power if you do not yield to the Holy Ghost. If you don't, so yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield your will. Yield your thoughts right in this place. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit washes over this building. Flow, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We don't care what man thinks. We don't care what the world thinks. We only care what the Father thinks. We only care what you think. And we're not of this world. We're only in this world. And we're in this world. We're not going to walk like the world. We're going to walk in the power and the authority that has been given to us. So fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us again, Holy Spirit. Fill us again, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Let your anointing flow in this place. Father God, yield, yield, yield. Open your hearts. Open your hearts and see what He can do. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there are some in the church world that think about the things of the Holy Spirit as games on the sidelines, as extremes. But you'll never reach maturity without allowing the work of the Spirit in your life. Because it is the Spirit who brings truth, who distinguishes between deception and truth. And without truth, you'll never reach maturity. And it's the Holy Spirit who warns and tells you, we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's the Holy Spirit who will tell you what is God's kingdom and what is not. So you cannot reach maturity without allowing the move of the Spirit in your life, says the Lord. You cannot reach maturity. Yield yourself. Yield yourself. Yield yourself. Yield yourself. Kimbrabo sorobo yandelaka. Nimbrabo sorobo yandelaka sarabaka. Imbrabo sorobo yandelaka. Imraba yandelako. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Spirit is speaking to each of us, each and every one of us, now, right now, speaking to your heart. Don't look on the outside. Keep looking on the inside. Holy Spirit, you're with me. You're guiding me. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Tell me what to do. Guide me. You said you would. Show me things to come. Speak to the Holy Spirit as if he walks with you and talks with you, because he does. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Letting the Spirit open the Word to you. Let the Spirit show you Jesus as he is. Let the Spirit guide you in your life personally. That's what he's here for. And we value you, Holy Spirit. We lean on you, Holy Spirit. We lean on you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like today, I see a river of water that's washing through people's minds. That's wiping out that dark cloud, that heaviness, that indecision, that whatever's keeping them away from walking in joy. The Holy Spirit's washing that, washing over us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We don't underestimate your power to move amongst us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm grateful for a church that's hearts are open to the things of God. I'd rather have a smaller group of people that yield to the Spirit of God than 10,000 that just want to stand on the outskirts. Amen. Father, we love you. We welcome your Holy Spirit. You're everything to us. You're everything. Lord Jesus, you said that you would not leave us comfortless, but you would leave us with the Holy Spirit, and he's a precious gift. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Welcome to church this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Say, I'm glad you're here today. Praise God. Welcome. Welcome to church this wonderful Memorial weekend. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. So glad you joined us this morning. I was praying for you today, and I was like, Lord, there are people that need to hear that have been hungering after more of God. They've been hungering after, wondering about the Holy Spirit. And I believe you've tuned in today because that's exactly what you need. whether you're watching us on YouTube or watching on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from, and we pray that you receive from the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Good to see you this morning. Who's got long weekend plans? Anybody? Are those the people who are not here? They're the ones who got plans. The rest of us, what are we doing? Barbecue Monday? We're here. Yeah, good, Moises. I knew you'd be here. You know, Lord, the Lord says to you, Moises, that there's a heritage that is within you. It comes not even from your life, but it comes from generations before you. And it's something that you'll never escape. Not that you want to, but it's a seed that's been planted deep roots in your life. Deep roots in your life for the things of God, a heart after God. And the Lord says to you, your children will always be rooted. Their roots are bound with your roots. So never be concerned if they turn to the left or to the right, but the roots will never let them go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's some things that happen in the spirit realm we're not even aware of. You pray for your kids. You sow the word into children, and you don't always see the results immediately. But let me tell you, God never forgets. Those things are planted, and they will hold them in good stead. Amen? Praise God. I'm not preaching today, so I better get off the platform. So let me just welcome anyone. I don't see any first-time visitors here today, but we're so glad to see all of you, and we're glad that you've joined us this morning. We are, you know the various ways. For those watching, there's various ways you can watch. Sometimes you have issues with Facebook Live going down, so there's always YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, our website, ascendchurch.us, or our mobile app. If you haven't downloaded that, download that. Go to our website and you can download our mobile app. We appreciate you doing that. We know it'll be a blessing to you. And if you don't get any of our texts from church, just text the word ASCEND to 561, the number on the screen. And we just like to keep in touch with you if there's anything urgent. You can also keep in touch with us that way. That's a good way to do it. But we're ready for a great service. I'm thankful for this wonderful Pentecost Sunday. We've got our kids' church. Don't be surprised if your kids come out of there with little tongues of fire on their head, because they're going to get ministered to in kids' church as well this morning. It's really important. But just to remind you of the four main purposes of our church, the first one is that you would know God, that you would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, we're going to receive the offering. You gave me 2 weeks break, so we're going to receive the offering. It's an opportunity for us to worship God with our giving. Amen? And Pastor Steve has been, anybody been in the services on the covenant of blessing? If you haven't heard them, do yourself a favor and listen, because he's been teaching line upon line on the subject of money, which is covered through the Bible. And people take one scripture out here and they go excess overboard on one way, and they take one another scripture here and they go excess on poverty. And, you know, it's all kind. We need to know what the Word of God says. But I'm going to take a small piece of what he said last week and remind us as we give. Luke 16, these are Jesus' words. He said, the one who manages the little that he's been given with, wait till it comes up. Luke 16. There it is. Jesus said, the one who manages the little he has been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. Jesus taught about money, right? He says, verse 11, if you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? And if you've not proven yourself faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given great wealth of your own? And so this is talking about, he talked a lot about stewardship, which goes to many areas of our life, but he pointed this right towards money. If we're not being good stewards of what God has entrusted us, if we're not faithful with the little that we have, then he can't trust us with more. Amen? So many people praying, Lord, give me more. He's like, what are you doing with the little I gave you already, right? And so why should God entrust us with millions of dollars or let that come through our hands if we're going to just do the same thing that any ungodly person would do? It's not the way God works. He looks at stewardship. Amen? He doesn't have any problem. It's a covenant of blessing. I like that Pastor Steve called that because that's what it's called in the Bible. There is blessings promised in the covenant, attached to the covenant. So God's not got no problem with us being wealthy. He's got no problem with people being super wealthy. He's got no problem with you having more than enough. But he doesn't want us to be greedy. Greed is the thing that he was talking about most here. And our obedience to tithe is the only proof that we've overcome greed. You know, you can say, well, I'm not greedy. Well, prove it. You know, put your money where your mouth is, right? And so God wants us to be, he wants to be first in our life in everything, including our money. And he wants us to use our money for his purposes. How many of you know that this life is but a vapor? And there's far more to things than what meets the eye. And we've got the short span of our life. And, you know, as you get older, you realize how quick it goes and how short it is and how little time you have to do for the kingdom of God. And so he wants us to put him first and have his kingdom in mind with our finances. Psalm 112, there's a connection with the fear of God and prosperity. Psalm 112, verse 1, it says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. I want my children to be successful. How about you? I want them to be successful everywhere they go. That's tied in with my fear of the Lord, my delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves, they that fear the Lord, will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. This is talking about beyond this life. The Living Bible says, all who fear God and trust in him. So fearing God and trusting in him and obeying him all go together. He's always dealing with the heart, no matter what matter it is. But when it comes to the matters of money, he deals with our heart. And so we're not meant to be afraid of God, but we're meant to reverence him, adore him, and obey him. Amen. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. So this is one way that we put God first. There's many ways we can, but this financially, this is the way. The Amplified says that you may learn to fear and worship the Lord your God with awe-filled reverence and profound respect always. Amen. So we're so grateful to those who are faithful tithers and givers in this church. We know we pray for you. We pray for God to increase you and bless you. Well, we declare that it's upon you. Amen. And coming out in your lives. And to those giving online, it's so simple. Just go ahead and give. We're going to pray before we do. But there are envelopes right in the seats where you are, various ways you can give. If you're watching online, just really simple, click give on our website and it'll lead you right into it. And we're going to pray right now. Amen. Father, we thank you for this covenant that includes financial blessing. We thank you that not only did you give us salvation and redemption and healing and you provided everything, but you also have provided us with provision, and not just provision, but you are the God who is more than enough. So we declare today, Father, that the windows of heaven are open above every tither, that every seed sown, it multiplies back with a great harvest, Father God. Thank you for doors of opportunity opening. Thank you for your covenant of blessing being manifest as people put you first and reverence and honor you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead with that. Thank you, ushers. And
praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Louis. Good morning to you and Sam, the two of you. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And that is when we remember and we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to the church, being sent to the earth. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to empower us, to anoint us, to guide us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. We thank you for your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you will minister to each and every person by your word and by your spirit, Lord. And I give you all the praise for everything that is said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, as I said, is Pentecost Sunday, and I want to speak about the Holy Spirit on this Sunday. Pentecost, the word Pentecost means 50, and 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit came to the church. And today, we celebrate the Holy Spirit who came to empower us and to anoint us. And Jesus spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. In, you know, one time, a man was brought to Jesus who had a demon spirit, and the demon spirit made him blind and unable to speak. He was mute and he was blind. Some sickness is caused by demons. Some problems, now not all sickness, but some problems in people's lives is caused by demons. I don't know where we think demons all went away. Jesus went around casting out demons all the time. All the time. And people think there's no more demons. People are influenced and held in bondage because of demon spirits. And so Jesus cast the spirit out of this man, and he was instantly healed. Now, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they said, oh, Jesus cast out that demon by the power of Satan, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And listen what Jesus said. In Matthew 12, verse 21, this is why I warn you, for God will forgive people for every sin and blasphemy that they have committed, except one. There is no forgiveness for the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If anyone speaks evil of me, the Son of Man, he can be forgiven. But if anyone speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven, now or ever. Be very careful what you say about the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Pharisees said that Jesus was casting out the demon by the power of Satan, they were attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to demons, which was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and will never be forgiven. I have seen people where have come into a service where the Holy Spirit begins to move and starts to touch people. And I've seen people get full of joy of the Lord. I've seen people begin to laugh. I've seen people get drunk in the Spirit. I've seen my wife so drunk in the Holy Spirit that we had to carry her out of the service like a drunk person. Now, I've seen people that have seen that and criticize and say, that's not God, that's the devil. They just blasphemed the Holy Spirit. The Father and Jesus are very protective of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus prepared his disciples for his departure. He told them in John 14, verse 16, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another Savior or another Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The contemporary English version of that verse says, I'm going to do what's best for you. That's why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Jesus said it is to our advantage and it is best for us for him to leave. So, because if he didn't leave, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. And he said it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is getting ready. He's getting them ready. He's about to go to the cross. And he's going to be raised from the dead to redeem us. And then he's going to return back and be seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's preparing the disciples for his departure. And he tells them not to be afraid. He tells them not to worry, because he's going to send them a helper. He's going to send them a friend to comfort them, to counsel them, to empower them, to guide them, to strengthen them, to anoint them. Who is he going to send? He's going to send the mighty Holy Spirit. Why is this best for us? Because when Jesus was on the earth, he was limited by a human body. He could only be one place at one time. And if Jesus had remained on the earth, you and I would have no chance of ever talking to him. There's 7 billion people on the earth. If Jesus was in Jerusalem right now, what chance do you and I have of ever talking to him? None. So that's why Jesus said it is better, because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of each and every one of us, and he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Amen. The Holy Spirit has come to fill every single believer. All of us are to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We sang it this morning, I need the Holy Ghost. A lot of Christians don't realize, because they haven't been told, that you need the Holy Spirit. Some people are missing out. Some people today are even oblivious of what Pentecost Sunday is all about. So many Christians are missing out on this wonderful gift and friend and helper because maybe it's something somebody told them or something weird that they saw. Listen, you need the Holy Spirit, because when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God in your life. You have strength. You have comfort. You have direction. You have wisdom. Amen? After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, he said to them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift that I told you about, the gift the Father has promised you. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power and you will be my messengers, my witnesses to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, all the distant provinces, even to the remotest parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit has come to empower us to be a witness, to be a messenger, to be a harvest for him. And Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere. Don't go preaching. Don't start ministry. Just wait. First, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because, amen, Jesus knew that they needed the Holy Spirit, and so do you, and so do I. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. He lives with you now, Jesus said, and later he will be in you. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, the Holy Spirit lives with you now, but he's going to live within you. Now, the reason why Jesus said the Holy Spirit lives with you now is because the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit with the power to do miracles. See, there's a reason why we can do the miracles that Jesus did is because he sent the Holy Spirit to fill us with power, just like he was filled with the power and anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, because all the miracles Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that because Acts 10:38 tells us, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That tells me that sickness is from the devil, because everybody Jesus healed was oppressed by the devil. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and that's what enabled him to do the miracles that he did. Jesus did not do any miracles until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit when he got baptized by John in the River Jordan. You see, when Jesus left heaven as the Son of God and came to the earth, he laid aside his godly powers and he came to the earth as a human being. He was God in human flesh. In Philippians 2 verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same that was shown to us by Jesus Christ, who, although he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory, and he took the disguise of a slave, and he became like men. Jesus came to the earth in disguise because he came as a man. And he laid aside his godly mighty powers, and he was dependent on the Holy Spirit to anoint him. And that's why Jesus didn't do any miracles until after he was baptized, because that's when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And right after that, his ministry begins. The miracles begin. The preaching begins. The healing begins because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? Yeah. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead. You see, God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus came to the earth, he laid aside his godly power and he was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the same power that Jesus was anointed with. That's why we can do the supernatural things that Jesus did. Jesus told us in John 14 in verse 12, the person who follows me in faith. Let me see your hand if you're following Jesus in faith. Hold up your hand and wave it at me. Say, this means me. The person who follows me in faith. It didn't say the apostles. It said that anyone who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these. Why? Because I go to be with my Father. Jesus said, if you follow me in faith and you believe in me, you're going to do the same miracles I do. Why? Because he's going to the Father. Well, how can I do the same miracles Jesus did? Because he's going to the Father. Because he sent the Holy Spirit to anoint us. That's why we can do the things that he did. Are you with me so far? Jesus did many miracles when he was on the earth. He healed sick people. Sometimes he would go into a city and the Bible says he would heal every single person that was sick. He'd open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal people from leprosy, heal people who were paralyzed. He even raised the dead. He set people free from demonic powers. And we can do the same mighty miracles Jesus did because he went to be with the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to do the same things that he did. Can you say amen? Amen. Move on for me, Michelle. Now, the same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus will also help you, empower you, not only to do the same miracles that he did, but to help you in your everyday life with things that you have to do. You don't have to do it just in your own strength. You can depend on the power and the guidance and the wisdom and the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit came to the earth in Acts chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, on the day of Pentecost, that's what we celebrate today, all the disciples were gathered in one place. And suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of their heavenly realm. And the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all that anybody could hear. Then at once a pillar of fire appeared. And it separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each of them. Now, Jesus said, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. And they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak out in a heavenly tongue, a heavenly language. There's a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they received power. They were filled with power. These men who were fishermen and common everyday people like you and me, but when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to do the extraordinary. They began to heal the sick. They began to cast out devils. They began to preach the gospel. And the Bible says they turned cities upside down, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Peter who denied the Lord 3 times, after he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts boldly preaching the gospel on the streets of Jerusalem. And 3,000 people receive Jesus and are saved. In the next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they heal a paralyzed man who's sitting at the gate, beautiful. He grabs him and he says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the man is instantly healed. And he goes into the temple with them, jumping and leaping and praising God. What made the difference in Peter's life? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly he's full of boldness. Suddenly he's preaching on the streets. Suddenly he's doing miracles. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. You need to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, many in the church deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They deny the power of God. Religion will tell you that the supernatural is not for today. Religion will tell you miracles don't happen anymore. Signs and wonders, casting out demons, speaking in other tongues, that's all passed away. That's not for today. Show me that in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where it passed away. You have to listen to some religious theologian to tell you that. I'm going to believe the Bible, not what some educated theologian tells me. Those are the same people that criticize and crucify Jesus. If the Bible says I can do the things Jesus did, then I believe what the Bible says. How about you? Amen. The church has been robbed of the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you have people go to church, sit on the pew like mummies, listen to sermons telling them that God doesn't do this and God can't do that. And so there's no supernatural that happens. There's no miracles that happen. But let me tell you, we are not going down that road. We are going to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not afraid of the future. Amen. Let me tell you, it's one thing to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. And it's another thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and get the full power of the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of people, you know, they skip over Acts 2
chapter 2, but they want what's in Acts chapter 3. They want signs, wonders, and miracles, but they just don't want to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work like that. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed the lame man, paralyzed man, but they were first filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and they began to speak out in other tongues, and then they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's why the Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, he said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The New Living Translation says, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Contemporary English Version says, I simply let God's Spirit show His power. I want to preach the Word of God with demonstration of the Spirit and power, with signs following, with miracles, with healings, with people being set free. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His mighty power today. The power of the Holy Spirit is still for us today. And unfortunately, there are many in the church that deny the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about speaking in other tongues because they don't want to offend people. Oh, we don't offend anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. Gosh, no, we'll offend the Lord instead. We'll offend the Holy Spirit and spare them. I'm not afraid. I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I'm not afraid of it. Jesus offended people everywhere He went. I refuse to back down and compromise on the Word of God and water it down to try and please somebody. I want to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And if you don't want a Holy Ghost church, this isn't the church for you. If you want a church, you just breathe in 45 minutes, breathe out, nothing happens. This ain't the place. Because we're going deeper. We want everything God has for us. We want to see revival. We want to see move of God. We want to see miracles happen. And we have seen that. Amen? A lot of times people, they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be persecuted. Because when you proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, you will be persecuted. Not everybody will like you. When God sent Peter to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, that means people who weren't Jewish, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak out in other tongues. In Acts 10:44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to his message. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you fall, even as I'm preaching right now. The Jewish believers who came with Peter, they were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You see, that's how you know for sure. Because every time in the Bible where they were filled with the Spirit, every time they always started speaking out in this heavenly language. Being filled with the Holy Spirit was so important to the apostles and to the early church. In fact, it was the first question that the Apostle Paul would ask believers when he met them. Like in Acts 19, verse 1, it says, Paul traveled through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. They were believers. They were following Jesus. And the first thing he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They said, no. We haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested and they immediately spoke out in tongues and began to prophesy. Now notice, how many of you know you don't get saved and you don't become a Christian by someone laying hands on you? Have you ever heard of someone becoming a Christian by someone laying hands on them? No. How do you become a Christian? You believe that Jesus died on that cross with our sin, and we believe that He's been raised up from the dead and He's alive, and we confess Him as Lord of our life. That's how you get saved. But Paul laid his hands on these people. They were already saved. They were already believers. They just hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. And he laid hands on them. See, because you can receive the Holy Spirit by someone laying hands on you. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to have hands laid upon you. In Acts chapter 10, they received the Holy Spirit while Peter was preaching. No one laid hands on them. But one way of receiving the Holy Spirit is someone to lay hands on you. And Paul knew how important being filled with the Holy Spirit was. So did Peter. So did John. In Acts chapter 8, a man named Philip. He went and he began to preach the gospel in a place called Samaria. And there were many miracles that took place. Many people were set free. Many people who were paralyzed were healed. And when the church leaders in Jerusalem heard about the revival that was going on down in Samaria, they immediately sent Peter and John down to go and see it. And look what happened when they arrived in Acts chapter 8, verse 15. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. First thing they did. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That means they'd been baptized in water. So that tells me I can be a believer, I can know the Lord, I can follow Jesus, I can be baptized in water, and yet still not have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened? Then Peter and John, notice, laid their hands on these believers. And what happened? And they received the Holy Spirit. Same thing happened with Paul. Paul laid his hands on those 12 that he found, and they filled with the Spirit. Same thing happened here. They laid hands on them, and they received and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Notice, that's the first thing the apostles do. They send Peter and John, get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why did Paul and the early church and the early apostles, why did they place such importance on being filled with the Spirit? You know why they put such importance on it? Because Jesus put such importance on it. They got it from him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to receiving Jesus in your life and being saved. We've just looked at that in a number of different places. You can be a Christian, you can know the Lord, you can be following Jesus, and yet not have heard about the Holy Spirit because it's a subsequent experience. First you receive Jesus, he's God's gift to the world, and then you receive the Holy Spirit, he's God's gift to the church. In Acts 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and return to God, and each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to have your sins removed. Then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So notice that. Repent, get baptized, then you can take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, the Holy Spirit is for me. And your families, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. It's for me. Just like salvation and water baptism is for everybody, so being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is for everybody. Every believer should pray and speak in tongues. And if you've not experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit, today is the day that you can receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today is that day for you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, especially in the times we find ourselves today, in these last days, we need the power, the strength, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, so many times when I feel discouraged or I feel like giving up, when I feel like I've got no power, I sense the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, encouraging me, guiding me, inspiring me, comforting me. I'm so grateful that in difficult times, the Holy Spirit brings power. He brings strength. He brings joy. He brings peace in my life. He guides me. He encourages me to keep on moving forward. You need the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, you need the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you get to heaven one day, the Father God is on the throne. At his right hand is Jesus, the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit is on the earth. Three separate persons. In Acts 5, verse 3, it says, this is when Ananias and Sapphira, they lied because they promised that they would give a certain amount of money to the kingdom of God, the work of God. They lied about it. They sold some property and they held it back. And look what happened. It says, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then he said, verse 4, you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. That tells me the Holy Spirit is God. And if you wonder what happened, they both fell down dead. I one time had some Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door. And I said, come on in. And I didn't even talk about Jesus. I went straight to the Holy Spirit and I took their Bible. I said, can I use your Bible? And I read Acts chapter 5, verse 3. You've not lied. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You didn't lie to men. You lied to God. I said, the Holy Spirit's God. Can you tell me about that? They said, we'll be back next time. We've got to bring someone with us who can talk about this. I said, I'll see you next time. And I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him since then. The Holy Spirit is a person. When speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus always referred to the Holy Spirit as him or as he. It's important you've got to see the Holy Spirit as a person, because you can't develop a relationship with an it or with a power. But realize the Holy Spirit is a person. He has a mind. He has will. He has emotion. The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. There are three persons in the Godhead, in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you can see this clearly at Jesus' baptism. I've had discussions with some ministers, pastors, who don't believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are some pastors that believe there's only one God, and sometimes he's the Father, and sometimes he's Jesus, and sometimes he's the Holy Spirit. But I said, well, explain this to me then. Matthew 3, verse 16. As Jesus, which we know he's the Son of God, as he rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. Then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky, this is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him. You see in that verse the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three separate persons. Jesus didn't descend out of this clouds like a dove on himself. Jesus didn't do a ventriloquist act and pretend he threw his voice, this is my son. No, it's three separate persons in the Godhead. Now, if you think you and I can understand everything there is to understand about God, how many of you know we cannot understand God with our mind? I only know God because of what his word tells me. Amen. In Genesis, you can see the Holy Spirit in creation. In Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us, say us, make human beings in our image to be like us. Now, how many of you know us and our are plural? He didn't say, let me make man in my image. He said, let us. Well, who's the us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit had a planning meeting. They said, let us make man in our image. The word for God in the Hebrew is the word Elohim, and it's a plural word. It actually means gods, three separate persons. In Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form, and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, he spoke creation into existence. He said, light be, and light was. But you see, the Holy Spirit was the power that hovered above the waters that brought God's Word to pass. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no universe. There would be no human beings. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus would not have been born of the Virgin Mary. The Bible says in Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary had promised Joseph to be his wife, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no resurrection of Jesus. Because it says in Romans 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. The same. Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And that same Spirit lives on the inside of you. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no miracles in Jesus' life. Because we read it in Acts 10:38. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was in him, with him. Without the Holy Spirit, we would have no Bible. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and it will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. We would have no way to have faith in God without the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who draws us, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us. Amen. What else does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Well, in John 16, verse 7, if you read the Amplified Version, this is what Jesus said. He said, it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to be in close fellowship with you. The Message Bible says, it's better for you if I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come, but if I go, I will send him to you. So we see that the Holy Spirit has come to be your comforter. He's come to be your comforter. The Holy Spirit has come to be your counselor. Very often we look everywhere else for counsel instead of, Holy Spirit, I need your wisdom. I need you. He knows everything, man. He's come to be your advocate. He's come to be your intercessor. He's come to be your strengthener. He's come to be your encourager. He's come to be your teacher. He's come to be your guide. He has come to be your friend. I think the word helper says it best. The Holy Spirit has come to be your helper in life. The Greek word for helper is the word parakletos, and it means one who's called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit has come to help you, empower you, teach you, guide you, encourage you. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you guide me, you speak to me, and you tell me things to come. In Romans 8:14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And in fact, the contemporary English version, I like the way this reads, it says, only those people who are led by God's Spirit are his children. The Bible says, if I am not led, now think about this. This is powerful, man. This is powerful. You got to get this. Only those people who allow the Holy Spirit to guide them are really the children of God. Is that what it says? Does it say that? So if I'm not letting the Holy Spirit guide me, am I really a child of God? I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit's guidance in my life. I need him to guide me. I trust him to guide me. The Holy Spirit is the one who led me to my wife and led her to me. The Holy Spirit is the one who led me to my purpose in life. I need the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Holy Spirit is the one who guided me to be where I am today. We're in this country by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And because we followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, all of my children are serving in ministry. All of my children are serving in ministry. All of them. They may not be here, but I've got two daughters in California, both pastors. My son is worship leader down at VU Church in Miami, and my daughter Nadine, she works with us, she helps us here. All of my children are involved in serving the Lord because we followed the Holy Spirit guidance to come here. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit helps me to pray, because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He enables you to pray in a supernatural way. It's called praying in the Spirit, or it's called praying in other tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. I don't understand what I'm saying. See, when you pray in tongues, it's your spirit praying, not your mind praying. You don't understand what you're saying, but you are speaking directly to God. You're speaking mysteries to God. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. When someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says, because he's not speaking to people. He's speaking to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. Now, you may not understand what you're saying, but you're speaking mysteries unto God. In fact, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray God's will for your life. The Apostle Paul understood the power of praying in tongues in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than any of you. Now, this is a man who three times was taken up into heaven. This is a man who wrote more than 50% of the New Testament. And he said, I pray in tongues more than any of you. I think I'm going to listen to him a little more than some guy around the corner who wants to criticize praying in tongues. Well, Paul, somebody at my work told me. Who gives a rip what they told you? Who cares? You cannot base your life on what somebody thinks the Bible says. You got to believe what it actually says for yourself. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I feel the same way. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. You know why? Because I know the benefits. I know the power of it. I know what it'll do in your life. Let me tell you, one thing happens when you pray in tongues. You pray the will of God for your life, even when you don't know what it is. That's what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And it says, and the Father, who knows all hearts, He knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When I pray in the Spirit, in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking mysteries to God. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit enables me to pray the will of God. In fact, the Passion Bible says, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. When you pray in tongues, can I tell you, you are praying God's destiny for your life. You're praying God's plan for your life. And as you pray in tongues and pray God's plan for your life, then the Holy Spirit begins to guide you and reveal God's destiny and plan for your life. Verse 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose for them. What that means is that when you pray in the Spirit, in tongues, not only are you praying the will of God for your life, but it allows the Holy Spirit to cause everything to work together for your good. In fact, the Passion Bible says, when you pray in tongues, it says every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. Let me tell you, when you pray in tongues, something powerful happens. First of all, you pray the will of God, the destiny of God for your life. Secondly, it causes God to cause everything to weave together and come together for your good. One of the things that I'm most thankful for is praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. It's my go-to. When I'm facing situations, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues every day. I pray for you in tongues every day because I'm praying by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I don't know everything about you. I don't know everything you're facing, but the Holy Spirit does. And I say, I want to pray for Natalie, Holy Spirit. You know everything she's facing. Help me to pray your will for her life. And I begin to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. I'm praying supernaturally with God's help. The Holy Spirit's come to help you to pray God's will for your life. Amen. Because you see, you're not praying with your own wisdom. You're praying with the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even though you don't know what you're saying. And it allows God to work in your behalf. It allows God to bring everything in my life into His plan. When you pray in tongues, you can expect all things to work for your good because God can actually go ahead and arrange your future. He can arrange for you to meet the right person. He can orchestrate things for you. When you face a problem, you don't know what to do. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm facing this big challenge. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I commit it to you. Help me to pray the will of God. Help me to make the right decisions. Guide and order my footsteps and begin to pray out in tongues. The Holy Spirit has been sent to you. You need Him and you need to pray in the Spirit. Can you say amen, somebody? Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Number two, when you pray in the Spirit, you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to hear His voice and His guidance. In 2 Corinthians 13, in verse number 14, it says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Message translation says, may the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, we need to fellowship. That means spend time with the Holy Spirit. Hang out with Him. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm not speaking unto people. I'm speaking directly to God, and I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not only do you pray God's will for your life, but you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and it makes you sensitive to hear His voice, to receive guidance from Him, to receive wisdom. Because the more time you spend with someone, the better you know them. I know my wife so well, I know what she's going to say before she says it. And she knows what I'm going to say before I say it. That's why usually she helps me finish my sentences. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you getting something out of this today? Just hang in there. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, this is what is meant by the scriptures which say that no mere man has ever seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. Say this. Say, God's got wonderful things ready for me. Isn't that what it says? It says, but we know about these things. Because God has sent His Spirit to tell us. And His Spirit searches out and shows us all of God's deepest secrets. No one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except that person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. Amen? It says God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit. God's given us His Spirit to tell us about the wonderful free gifts and blessings that He's given us. In telling you about these gifts, we've even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit, not words that we men might choose. So we use the Holy Spirit's words to explain the Holy Spirit's facts. But the man who isn't a Christian can understand and can accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us, they sound foolish to him because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. Now that tells me that God has got blessings and things, destiny and things for my life, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to tell me about those things. But if I don't ever acknowledge the Holy Spirit, if I'm oblivious of Him, if I don't spend time fellowshipping with Him, if I don't spend time and trust Him to guide me, I can miss the things that God has prepared. One of the greatest assets in my life has been a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides me. He's the one who helps me. He's the one who strengthens me. He's the one who anoints me. He's the one who teaches me. He's the one who comforts me. He's the one who gives me revelation. Let me tell you, I'm up here today preaching because of the power and the help of the Holy Spirit in my life. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, when they put you under arrest and they hand you over for trial, don't even give one thought about what you will say. Simply speak what the Holy Spirit gives you at that very moment. And realize it won't be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit repeatedly speaking through you. But many times when I'm talking to people, I don't know what to say. But I step out in faith, and suddenly it comes up on the inside of me, the right thing to say. The Holy Spirit helps me to be able to be a witness for Him. See, the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is for people to be a more effective witness for Jesus. And then lastly, when you pray in the Spirit, three powerful things happen. You pray the will of God for your life. You fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to His voice. And number three, you are supernaturally edified when you pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. The New Living Translation says they are strengthened personally. See, when you pray in tongues, you are supernaturally strengthened, edified, filled with peace, filled with joy. That's what I do when I feel weak or discouraged. I don't know what to do. I pray in tongues. I can't imagine living without the Holy Spirit and without praying in the Spirit. I can't even imagine it because there's nothing that builds me up like praying in the Spirit. That's why I got to do it every day. Jude verse 20 says, you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. How? By praying every moment in the Spirit. I'm building myself up constantly when I pray in the Spirit. Now notice it says that you can edify yourself because you choose how much edification you want. You choose how much strengthening you want. The more that you pray in the Spirit, the more you will be strengthened, the more you will be edified. In fact, another word is the word charge. You'll be charged up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like you charge a battery, you can supernaturally charge your spirit by praying out in the Spirit. And let me tell you, every day, just like you've got to charge your cell phone every day you need to be charged up with the power of the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues, and you have the presence of God and the anointing of God fills your heart as you do that. Amen. In fact, the Passion Bible says that the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. Every believer can speak in tongues. I cannot overestimate the benefits and the value of praying in tongues. I think a lot of Christians are losing battles because they're not putting on the whole armor of God. They're not building themselves up spiritually. They're not allowing their spirit to pray. They're not being edified because they're not praying in the Spirit. When I was 16 years old, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I started to pray and speak in tongues. It changed my life. As a teenager, I started praying for an hour in tongues as a teenager. And I became intimate. I began to learn and hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit in my life. All of the great things that have happened in my life because I followed the Holy Spirit's guidance. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for His power. Can you say amen? And what we're going to do, we're going to close here. I want to ask you to stand up with me, if you would. Stand up with me, everybody. And we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to ask, please don't rush and stampede through the doors. Just give me 2 minutes, just a couple of minutes, because I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come and help me. I want people to come help me. Come and help me to pray. Because if you have never spoken in tongues, and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, today is the day for you to receive. The power of the Holy Spirit is here. What the Lord spoke through my wife this morning was just amazing. So I want them to come and stand up here. And if you want prayer, you say, Pastor Steve, I want everything God has for me. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to pray in that heavenly language. I want you to come as we close, and they're going to pray, and you're going to receive today. Can you say amen? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit to this earth for us, to help us, to guide us, to empower us, to anoint us. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your work in our life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that every person in this room and every person that is watching this, I pray, Holy Spirit, that they will come to know you more intimately than ever before, that they will come to know your voice. I pray that you will reveal yourself unto them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, today on this Pentecost Sunday. Thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you have given to us. We are grateful. We are thankful. Thank you, Lord, that we can do the same miracles Jesus did because we have the same Holy Spirit anointing us and empowering us. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, everybody, as we dismiss today, I'm going to ask if you want prayer, if you're not filled with the Spirit yet, you haven't spoken in tongues, come right now, Tom and Anna. I want Shanta to help me, and Pastor Jill is helping me here. And Jerry, come and help us up here. Come and Teresa, come and help us. As people come forward, they're going to pray for you. They know how to do this. You're going to receive. God bless you. See you next Sunday. Happy Memorial Day. Next Sunday, I'm going to carry on with the covenant of blessing. The Lord's given me something to share with you. So have a wonderful week. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday, right?